Risk management, it's what you do when there's not enough money and people to take care of all the issues that could derail your program. In other words, it's something everybody needs to do. Easy to say, but not many federal managers do it, and it's a lot harder to do. For some insight on how to boost your risk management skills, we turn to IBM's Thomas Stanton, president of the Association of Federal Enterprise Risk Management. Mr. Stanton, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so risk management, it's a word we hear a lot of. I guess maybe we should start with how you define risk and risk management.
Well, look, in Washington, we've had one agency after another where somebody's sitting at the top and something really bad happens in the middle of the organization, and all of a sudden it's a scandal. There are congressional hearings. General Shinseki is fired from VA. The head of the IRS has to leave. Even the Secret Service has to leave. And the whole idea of risk management is let's make sure the information flows in the agency to the place where people need to know. That's what risk management is all about.
Yeah, that seems like a refreshing definition because it gets to that whole idea that really should, if it doesn't, worry managers, and that is knowing what you need to know and knowing what you don't know.
Well, and particularly these days where agencies are getting their budgets cut. The way people like to do it is pretend I can cover the whole waterfront with a lot less resources. This whole idea of, gee, you can do more with less. Well, at some point, you can't do more with less. So if agencies don't pay attention to what's going on and try to pull back and rethink what they're doing, they can really get hurt. So the whole idea of a firm, this Association of Federal Enterprise Risk Management, is to have agency leaders understand they've got to support people who want to bring them bad news. It doesn't mean you've got to believe it, but you've got to support those people and listen and watch the warning signs before something blows up.
All right, so as a manager, say you're a program manager or someone at the executive level in an agency, what do you do differently starting tomorrow morning, say, or starting this morning, to begin to be better at risk management and having those proper information flows?
Well, it's exactly what you say. It can happen at any level. Basically, you've got to be open to receiving bad news. It can't just be an act of courage that one of your subordinates brings you bad news. It's got to be the way we do business. I want to do something. Let's look at the pros and the cons, the upsides and the downsides. Let's figure out how we can really get this done and avoid all the landmines that are out there.
And so that means that from the point of view of the person bearing bad news, they have to understand that it's not a risk to do that, but it's something that's rewarded.
Something that's rewarded. It doesn't mean the person that's claiming a risk is always right, but they're going to be listened to. It's going to be a respectful dialogue that says, thank you very much, let me look into it. And from the point of view of the leader, it's always easier to check something out than it is to ignore a warning sign and then have something really bad happen.
We're speaking with Thomas Stanton. He's president of the Association of Federal Enterprise Risk Management. Now, you've described it. It sounds simple. I'm holding a 33-page guide with fine print on how to actually do that. And one of the things you recommend is establishment of a risk management officer or a risk officer or a chief risk officer. When you do that, what does that person do? And how do you make sure that all of the bad news and all of the possible risk, so to speak, doesn't get shunted off to that person instead of the people that can do things about it?
Well, that's exactly right. The risk officer is not responsible for managing risk. Every manager is responsible for managing risk of their programs. The risk officer can facilitate conversations, make sure that people up and down the line and across all the different silos are talking to each other, understand each other's risks. And, you know, very often you got these barons in an agency that don't want to share, you know, I'm running a good program, don't bother me, and I don't want to reveal my vulnerabilities. But in fact, if you can report it up the line, somebody higher up can help you, can allocate resources. Gee, if this is a serious problem, let's deal with it now. And the risk officer is a facilitator to help make sure those conversations take place, and then help make sure the agency prioritizes its scarce budget resources, its scarce staff resources, to be able to deal with the risk. So it's basically, I mean, the bottom line is we're talking about better management from the top. And the argument that we're trying to say civil servants can make to their political appointees is basically, look, you want to check out what's going on in this agency and make sure that you know what's happening, rather than have something blow up on your watch that will ruin your reputation and not be good for anybody, and for sure not for the agency.
It sounds like there's really a cultural change that is fundamentally needed for all of this to create that atmosphere where the acceptance of risk and the expression of risk is not seen as a weakness, but rather a managerial strength.
Exactly. It takes a while to make a cultural change. You can begin with the processes. You begin by having, you know, basically saying we're going to hear what the concerns are, and then you don't shoot the messenger. And that's a good start. And then other people are willing to come forward. You have systematic conversations that surface issues. And over time, you can actually get a cultural change out of it. And a lot of it has to be carried at the civil servant level because your political appointees very often rotate in and out. But in the end, you need to convince your political appointee, this is really important. It's important for me, and it's important for getting anything done that I want to get done, the reason I came to this agency in the first place.
Are you aware of any agencies that have been models for doing this properly, for good risk management?
Well, recently I had the opportunity to interview Nancy Potok, who's the chief operating officer at the Census Bureau. And they've had a systematic program of developing enterprise risk management. That's what we call it. That's eyes glaze over, but it's enterprise risk management. And they've done a really good job. Nancy has a five-year program where she's going to ultimately change the culture in the agency. But there's even a GAO report that commends Census. This is very rare that GAO commends somebody. Commends Census for the quality of their risk management when they were trying to decide how do we shrink our field offices in order to conserve resources. So they're well on the way. That would be a really good example.
Because that's an agency that has a particular task that is, in everybody's eyes, the decennial count, and it happens when it has to happen, and it is a cannot-fail type of situation. So they've got this huge, looming, ultimate risk, and there's all this process for 10 years leading up to it. So what about agencies that have an ongoing process with no live-or-die deadline, just the day-to-day management, like VA?
VA, yeah, VA. And again, part of the problem in VA is you've got these very powerful barons, these fiefdoms, and in the end, you've got to manage that. You've got to weld together a management team so people are willing to think of risks to the whole department and not just to their fiefdom. But the Office of Federal Student Aid is another place that has gone pretty far in enterprise risk management, and they're more of that continuous operation you're talking about. Although, in fairness to Census, I've got to add, they do a lot of regular reporting in addition to the decennial census.
And so it sounds like at VA, maybe Bob McDonald should have been a little bit tougher in kicking doors and taking names initially to maybe get those fiefdoms' attention.
It was General Shinseki who needed to do that. McDonald has now stepped in as part of the cleanup crew to try to correct things at the Veterans Health Administration.
All right, and briefly tell us a little bit about the association, the AFERM, because there's another firm that's in a different domain of government. Who's in it, and what do you do?
Well, basically, about 7 years ago, a bunch of civil servants and political types got together and said, this can't go on this way. And we formed a little bit of a network, and the association has now grown. We hold a summit conference this year it'll be in November, at George Mason University. And about 250 people get together, and we spend about 2 days trying to listen to lessons from about risk management. We're what we call a community of practice. We're trying to up everybody's game, and it's been a very informal but steadily growing movement. And now we've gotten the attention of people at Office of Management and Budget, people at the GAO, and now people are starting to say, let's make this work. But the important thing is we're not asking that risk management be mandated. The minute you say, you got to do it, it turns into a gesture. It turns into something that's not going to work. It's got to grow in the agency itself because people recognize this is common sense. This is the way we've got to do organizational self-defense. And so a firm is sort of a place where people come together. We have quarterly lunches. We have other gatherings. We're putting a training program on our website. It should be up within a couple of months, in order to basically help people understand what it is they want to do in order to protect their organizations and make them work better.
All right. Thomas Stanton is the president of the Association of Federal Enterprise Risk Management. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, thank you.